What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Debbie Royale YouTube channel. We are back with another NFL mock draft, picks 1 through 32. We've got trades this week, so it's going to be an exciting one. Stay with us through the intro. We'll catch you on the other side. All right. As I said, NFL mock draft, it's almost time. The NFL season is winding down. We're almost to the playoffs. And so it is time to continue doing NFL mock drafts. Last time, Randy had the first overall pick. This time I do. And because of that, we have a trade. So with the first overall pick, Caleb Williams is going to the Washington Commanders. The Commanders sent picks 103, so the third overall pick, the 41st overall pick, a 2025 first, and a 2025 second to Chicago to move up to get Caleb Williams. This trade allows them to stay within range of Marvin Harrison Jr. potentially, though we'll see if that comes to fruition. It's not a huge jump back, so the compensation wasn't huge, but it allows the Bears to move forward with Justin Fields and add pieces around him. Randy, we're not going to get into all these picks, but do you agree with this? Do you think the Bears are taking a quarterback?
Do I think the Bears won't trade? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm still 50-50, man. I think we've seen a lot of good things from Fields the second half of the season since he's been back from injury. Everything we're seeing from the locker room seems like he's going to be back, but everything we're kind of seeing in between the lines doesn't seem that way. I do think he stays, so I'm kind of happy to do a trade so we actually can do this. Because I know last week, or whenever we did the last mock, I hated kind of picking Caleb.
That's fair. That's fair. All right, that puts you on the clock with pick number 2. Cardinals staying there? Is that?
Yeah, Cardinals staying. Unfortunately, no one trying to trade up for Drake May makes the Cardinals take Marvin Harrison Jr., arguably the best player in the class, definitely best receiver in the class, elevates this offense to the next level. Hopefully, Kyler can continue to grow a little bit. I've seen some good things and some terrible things this year since he's returned. So hopefully a true number one wide receiver like he had with Hopkins can elevate this offense back to what it needs to be. Unfortunately for the Bears, no one willing to trade out for the quarterback here hurts him.
Mm-hmm. It sure does. And then It made it difficult for me to pick here at 3. This is the correct pick probably, but I also can see a world in which they try to get out of the Kyler contract. They reset the quarterback, rookie contract window. The same discussions that are happening in Chicago should be happening in Arizona, although I think you can say Kyler's a little bit more proven. And the contract's harder to move than Justin Fields is. So.
If we would have seen what we heard all offseason of like, well, you know, Kyler might not play this year because they don't want to guarantee the money and all that. But he came back pretty much how we expected before, like right after the injury. And he was running first week. He looks healthy, doesn't look timid out there. So for me, I think that says they're sticking with him. But I get the aspect for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right. Down at pick number 3, I took Dallas Turner to the Chicago Bears, the edge rusher from Alabama. As I just said, it made picking at 3 overall very difficult, but if there's an edge rusher that's worth it in this class, Dallas Turner is that for me. I think he has the speed, the power. He's got more bend than you expect when you first turn on the tape. He is my edge one. I think the NFL teams are really going to like him. I think this college football playoff here in the next few days is going to really help his draft stock as well. Any thoughts on Turner?
I said in the last one, I think he's probably the first defensive player drafted, and it continues here. I think this says a lot about what you feel and what maybe Chicago feels about their offensive line currently. Not taking one of these top tackles, going with another edge rusher, possibly because they're not trying to spend money on an edge rusher in free agency to pair with Montez Sweat. So getting rookie to do it in the long haul makes sense.
Yeah. All right. You're on the clock at 4 with the Patriots.
Shortest clock ever. Drake May, quarterback UNC. to the Pats. They didn't have to trade up for him. They got a win when they probably shouldn't have and still got the quarterback that they were always going to get. However, the win cost them a chance to get Caleb without trading up.
Yeah, still lucky. It reminds me of the tank for Tua back in the day when Miami was trying to tank for Tua and then they failed at tanking for Tua and then they ended up with Tua. I think the Patriots are going to like both of these quarterbacks, though I think they'd probably prefer a chance at Caleb Williams. I think they're out of that running at this point.
Yeah, I have a feeling that Belichick would like May a little bit better, but
who will Bill be there? That's the big question.
That's a whole other issue.
Yeah. All right. Here at number five, we have another trade. I promise Randy trades as well. Here we have the Raiders moving up for Jaden Daniels, the quarterback from LSU. We're going to start to see some crazy Jaden Daniels takes, I think. Overall, we've talked about him a little bit on the show. We talked about him during the last mock, but I think that statistically and what all of his improvements over the years on top of the absolutely legendary season that he just had will put him in top 10 range, even if he still has some developing to do. But he has a superpower. A lot of quarterbacks don't have a superpower. His rushing ability is that he is extremely fast. I think the Raiders are looking to reset at the quarterback position, hopefully with Antonio Pierce leading them. I think this would be a smart move, though it took a lot to get up. I didn't read the trade out. So pick 13, pick 44, and a 2025 first, a 2025 second, and a 2026 fifth to New York for the fifth pick and the 70th pick. So they add a third in return for a lot of picks. It's tough, but Randy, as a Raiders fan, how would you feel about this?
I'm still pretty reserved on Jaden Daniels. Not that I don't think he's talented by any means, but I'm not sure he's a top 10 quarterback. But again, quarterbacks go higher than they should, just how it goes. Mm-hmm. So the trade up, as opposed to what we did the last time where they were sitting at six and just picked him, is very hard to swallow a bit, especially they haven't really done really well trading anything and really securing these stuff. But I do think a new quarterback is going to come into town, whether it's a rookie or a vet. I think it depends on the GM hire and the offensive coordinator hire, because I think if they probably win another game, Pierce is pretty set in to be in the coach just to keep that locker room and the defense rolling. So, but he's going to need some great coordinators. And if there's a coordinator out there that's going to work with Jaden Daniels well, I think it's a smart pick.
Yeah. Good stuff. You had a trade here. Is that right?
I did. Yeah. So Chargers originally at six. I had the Bears trading up because they did get kind of sniped with the receiver earlier. Chargers need a receiver. Tennessee could take a receiver. So I think it's a smart move to trade up just a little bit to take Malik Nabers, wide receiver out of LSU, second best receiver in the class, first best receiver in most any other classes. Chicago sends the eighth pick, the 40th pick, and a 2026 fourth to the Chargers for the 106. Not a huge trade. Using a pick that you just got from Washington to trade up, and using your original pick to trade up, and you know, you're really getting a top edge rusher, a top receiver in this class, hitting all the notes, trying to build around Justin Fields. I think it makes the most sense instead of trying to take your chances, because there's a chance someone trades up for Neighbors, there's a chance one of these teams take them. I'd rather just go get my guy and not have to feel forced to take a corner or a tackle when, again, like I just said, the pick earlier kind of reinforces that they believe in their offensive line.
Yeah, I think that's completely fair. That made my pick here at seven pretty easy. So Joe Alt, offensive tackle to the Titans. Titans desperately need to improve their offensive line. I do think that some will want a quarterback. I think Will Levis has shown enough where you can probably trot him out there next year, give him another shot, or you can upgrade with a veteran or something like that if you want to be competitive. I do think building through the trenches is how this team has normally gone about business, and they've gotten away from that with their offensive line. And so I think they go Joe Alt, who is my OT1. Maybe I can't remember at this point. I think actually J.C. Latham is, but yeah, Joel is my top left tackle, and a guy who looks like a Pro Bowler for many, many years.
Yeah, and a team that, you know, kind of is trying out people at tackles right now. And honestly, their experiment bringing in a left tackle hasn't really worked, so getting a guy for the future makes sense. At eight, Chargers trade back, get a top offensive tackle, Olufoshanu, offensive tackle from Penn State. You get more draft capital for a new coach and GM. I think that's smart. This team has a lot of – I mean, they don't get a ton of draft capital, don't get me wrong. But they have a lot of heavy contracts, a lot of expiring deals, a lot of vets on this team. They need to reshape, retool around Justin Herbert. Making sure he's got two of the best tackles in the league is a smart investment, in my opinion.
Yep. I have a lot of tweets about how often Justin Herbert is taking sacks, and it is on pace with Andrew Luck. That is problematic. They need to fix it. Some of that can be attributed to the offense and the receivers, yada, yada, yada. That offensive line has been pretty terrible throughout his entire career. This is a fantastic pick. This also made my next pick easy, so thank you for making this a lot easier for me. I went Brock Bowers to the New York Jets. Tight end out of Georgia, I think. There's been some discussion on social media lately about Brock Bowers' usage. It seems as though he's not with the team for their bowl game, so a declaration is on the horizon, and I think Brock Bowers could become a top 10 pick at the tight end position. We don't see it very often, but he is one of those talents where he does everything right. He can block. He's an incredible receiver. I think his route running is good, and I think he'll be able to separate at the NFL level. Crazy hands. This is the type of player that Aaron Rodgers will need next year, because Aaron Rodgers is coming back next year. This Jets team will be pretty good. Brock Bowers helps that cause.
Yeah, and they're pretty set at receiver. Brandon Lazard, you know, being Rodgers' boy. They have other guys there. We'll see if Cobb comes back and all that. But they had undrafted rookies that stepped up this year. Those are cheap contracts. I think they return getting a weapon and kind of getting out of the tight end contracts you brought in that really haven't done much for you. It's a smart play for sure. I think they're one of the few teams that almost a lock to be going after Brock Bowers, including the Chargers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Falcons next. Edge rusher I gave him last time. Gone. Take a different one this time. Jared Verse. Completely different kind of edge rusher. Honestly, more of a hand in the dirt. Big body guy. But he is a heavy-handed heavyweight that is going to help this team inside it out. They generally take this kind of guy and put him interior. He wouldn't do that for them. He would be a game changer on the outside. They desperately need it. They've been putting in veterans to try and pick up the scraps. They've been doing well this year, arguably, I'd say, and Bud Dupree and others. But Verse sets this up for the future. I think he's a great pick.
Yeah. When you look at how, like what types of edge rushers are winning at the NFL level, it's guys like Verse. It's your strong power rushers that can, you know, set an edge and stay on the field on first and second down against the run. So Jared Verse is exactly that. I think he's really boosted his stock over the last month or so because the first part of the season was a little iffy.
Yeah, he, in my opinion, he would have been a top 10 pick last year just on intangibles. He says all the time he emulates this game after Max Crosby. I think he probably would be played in Vegas right now if he came out last year. Unfortunately, he's not. He's going to the NFC South, which means he has a chance to make the playoffs every year, but he should be a game record for them.
Yeah. Sticking with the NFC South, Kool-Aid McKinstry, the cornerback, is going to the New Orleans Saints. Kool-Aid McKinstry is a sticky, sticky dude. I studied him. He's my CB1 right now. I think that he's got the ability to take down an entire half of the field in man coverage. The Saints traditionally go after players like that in their history, and they love to draft defense. I know they went Olave and whatnot, but they need to replenish this corner room. They need to replenish this defense. Kool-Aid does exactly that.
Yeah, gives you three talented corners. Lattimore's been hurt every single season. Adebo has lengthy injury history as well. Smart to get a new guy for the future. Yeah. All right. Packers, not used to drafting here, but 2 years in a row they're here. Taking a tackle, though, this year, J.C. Latham, offensive tackle from Alabama. Christian's tackle one, definitely right tackle one, that is. Yeah. I have a strong feeling that the Packers will have a lot of new offensive line next year. I think Latham has the ability to play left side, but I think because he's a rookie, they would put him in on the right side day one and swing over any other tackle they feel like on the left side. I think Bakhtiari is gone. I think there's a lot of shakeups here. Again, another team with some vets, but a lot of young guys that have stepped up a ton this year. I think they capitalize on that and revamp this offensive line.
And Packers fans, don't yell about this. This is what your team needs to do. I know they draft defense every single year in the first round, but that clearly isn't doing anything because the defense is still bad. So let's maybe change it up and go offensive tackle, which is a big need. Good pick, Randy. Big fan.
Thanks. Plus, they miss a lot on corners. They miss on edge rushers. I'd rather, if I'm them, take an absolute lock of an offensive lineman.
Yeah. Dude's a beast. He's just an animal.
Yeah, he's gonna be in the NFL for a decade. Whether he's an all-pro or not, he's going to be in the NFL for a decade.
He's also one of those guys where if you need him to kick into guard, I think he can. But I think he's going to be... Yeah, and I think he's going to be a great tackle. Don't get me wrong. So, next pick, Roma Dunze, wide receiver. So the Giants traded back out of the fifth to the Raiders. They traded all the way back to 13. I think they would have enjoyed taking Malik Nabers up there, but instead they go back, stay in a similar tier, and get a top-tier wide receiver. Roma Dunze is going to be a top 20-ish pick, I think. There's debate on if this wide receiver class is being strong, if that's going to push players down. I don't think it's going to. I think we're going to see a lot of them go off the board. Giants need a player like this to kind of supplement what they currently have. I like Wandale Robinson. I like Jalin Hyatt for what he is, but they don't have that X type wide receiver one type of player. I think that's exactly what Rome is.
Yeah, they've been trying to get that with Hodgins and Darren Waller, and Waller's just not there anymore. It seems the Raiders have moved on at the right time. Not that he can't make impact plays, but it's still, he's not there anymore at that level. And getting two extra seconds and an extra first to get the next tier of receiver, I think is a smart move for a team that maybe has a new coach and GM. We'll see, but if not, this could be a, hey, look what we did. We could fix this now kind of thing. You need weapons if you're going to make Daniel Jones stick, which is what this move says is happening.
Yep.
All right. Well, Denver at 14, possibly lower after switching starting quarterbacks for the last 2 weeks. Nate Wiggins, the corner from Clemson. Honestly, this is a weird team where how they've turned it on this last half of the year has made it a little bit tough to see how they're going to draft. I do think there's some movement in the receiver room for them, possibly offensive line, clearly quarterback. But the strength of this team should be the defense, and getting a corner to pair alongside PS2 should be a top priority for them, because they have a rotation of two or three edge rushers that is working. D tackles are all right. Linebackers leave a lot to be desired. Good safety play. Getting a great corner too can really help out that front seven a ton. So I think it's a good move here when you're not in position to draft a quarterback as of right now. And while I do think Sean Payton would kind of love Bo Nix, I think it's a little bit early. I think they might trade up in the back of the first, not this mock, but in actual real life for something like that. But here you get a stud.
I like this pick. I also think if the Bears chose to draft Caleb Williams, I think Denver's a decent spot for Sean Payton to go get a quarterback, because I don't know what they're going to do. They're in trouble right now. I mean,
listen,
they're in a lot of trouble.
I'm just telling you right now, if you would have stayed at one and picked Caleb Williams for Chicago and you still traded up with the Raiders for Jane Daniels, I was going to slap you. I'm just going to say, if he's gone and he's not a Raider, I'm going to be sad.
That's fair. Okay, next pick, Minnesota Vikings picking here at 15. Laiatu Latu, the edge rusher out of UCLA. Injury concerns probably push him down the board a bit. I think there's a good chance that based on film alone, he is evaluated as an edge, the edge one for some teams. That said, I think that injury history is significant. I think that will push him down the board. The Vikings have had okay pass rush, but it's been through the scheme and how Flores can send pressure with his linebackers and things like that. They don't have really good play. Danielle Hunter's getting a lot of sacks, and he's still really good, but they're not getting consistent play out of their other edge rushers. Laiatu Latu comes in. He can fix that immediately, gives them another weapon in terms of pass rush ability in this team. I mean, you're just bolstering a strength. I think this is, they run it back with Kirk Cousins in this case, and I think they have, you know, division champ aspirations here.
Yeah, you need to improve this defense. Danielle Hunter's done a lot this year. Getting a guy that can kind of step up alongside him or take over for him, smart. Also, not talked about a lot yet because it's so early. I would definitely not be shocked if Brian Flores is one of the top interview candidates for a lot of teams. He was kind of unjustly taken out of his job. It's been a couple years. I think he gets at least interviews this year, and I wouldn't be surprised if he goes to a team like maybe the Panthers, but I doubt it with how the last owner kind of did him, or honestly, even like the Raiders. You know, I think that would work if they don't want to go with Pierce, or there's a lot of teams that his attitude and his defense is going to be very attractive for a lot of teams.
Yeah,
so getting bolstering this defense besides just a scheme is brilliant. You have to.
Yeah. All right, you're on the clock.
All right. Arizona gets the best receiver in the class. They don't get the best offensive line here. But they do get Talese Fuaga, offensive tackle from Oregon State. A little bit of versatility here, but they drafted Paris Johnson to be their left tackle. He's kind of been playing right, and he's been moving around a bit. I think getting the other tackle to pair with his new wide receiver, having your two tackles of the future, having a little bit of scheme versatility with both those tackles as well is a smart play. Honestly, kind of the best player on the board too, especially for team needs for them. So I'm very happy to be taking him here at 16.
Yeah, I love that pick. I love Fuaga as well. This offensive tackle class, especially at the top, is one of the better ones I've seen. So I'm excited to see where all these guys land. We'll get to another massive run of offensive linemen down the stretch here.
Yep. Once you get out of the top like three, or I'd say top three, then you get good tackles with more versatility than the top three, because the top three are so good at what they do, they don't do versatility. So that's why this class is so strong going into day two. I do think it'll be kind of bled dry by the second round, but we'll go there when we get to longer drafts.
Yeah, for sure. Next pick, number 17, the Pittsburgh Steelers take Tyler Newbin, the safety from Minnesota. One of the better do-it-all safeties, I think. If you put him next to Minka Fitzpatrick in the future, I think you're looking at a really, really good safety tandem. I know that the Steelers have some safeties that they like. I know that this secondary has played punched above its weight because of how good Joey Porter Jr. has been as a rookie. That said, I think they need to continue bolstering that. There are certain positions that might have been bigger needs, but I think Newbin can make an argument for BPA outside of, you know, maybe some of the wide receivers left. And I don't think they're going to draft a wide receiver. So Tyler Newbin comes in, automatic starter day one, and you plug him in.
Yeah, they love versatile scheme people. He fits that. I think he could play kind of inside back, not really outside, but in a pinch he could. And we're talking in a pinch, they have corners playing safety this last week, including veteran Patrick Peterson. I think it's a smart play to get in a guy that can just take over there, not have to worry about it. You might be able to get cheaper at the position, minus Minka's contract. Obviously, you got to keep that. But you can get rid of some of the other talent there, move them around, put this guy as in packages first year. Either way, it's a smart play for the Steelers, which always do that. So,
yep. All right.
All right. Their counterpart that they just beat, the Bengals, up next. I have them taking Amarius Mims, offensive tackle from Georgia. They're losing their right tackle, Jonah Williams. He doesn't want to be there anymore. He's gone. He's going to try and get money to be left tackle. Replacing him right away with a guy that plays right tackle at a high level, smart move. They have needs, but they're definitely not a team that's so like super desperate right now. So I think just replacing, not having to spend money in free agency at right tackle, besides maybe a vet as a rotational piece, great play for them.
high upside play. I think he needs to develop a little bit more, but I understand like the tools are all there. So
yeah,
I hope he can stay healthy. That's my, I mean, he's been in and out of the lineup quite a bit. So
yeah, there's nothing we could do about that. We took Latu at 15, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you're right. Next pick 19, Chop Robinson, the edge rusher for Penn State. This is a guy I think is falling down boards a bit, but based on tools and athletic potential alone, he's going to be a first-round pick. I mean, I don't think he has first-round film. I did study him quite a bit. He's extremely explosive with his first step. He needs to develop, I think, going to the Bucks, and that will allow him to do that. I think they have some decent young guys, Joe Tryon, Shoyinka. I think they still have guys that they like, but this would allow Chop to develop there and become one of those top-tier edge rushers, which I think is in his potential, his ceiling. He's not there yet. He's very developmental.
Yeah, super developmental. Not a lot of improvement. Pure sprinter. But if there's a place that's going to help you and a coach that can help you do it, I think it's a good fit for him. Honestly, here, like the Texans, there's a few other places I think are perfect for him. This is definitely one of them, mainly because he'd be rotational and purely a third down guy while he continues to develop and honestly add size. So good for him. Good for the Bucks. Unfortunately, you are on the clock again, even though you're not supposed to be.
Because we have a trade. So I traded up with Kansas City to take Troy Franklin, the wide receiver from Oregon. I know there's been some discussion about where he'll land in the NFL draft. I'm not concerned about it, especially when he's going to the Chiefs. The Chiefs had to send the 25th pick, the 89th pick, and a 2025 third to the Colts for pick 20 and 157 in this draft. So add a fifth rounder, lose a few picks. Worth it because the Chiefs wide receiver room is rough right now. Troy Franklin gives them the ability to stretch the field like they had with Tyreek Hill. Very important when we're looking at what this team needs to evolve into. I think he would come rival for wide receiver one targets, though I think Rashee Rice probably has that locked down. But they need to start to think about life without Travis Kelce. Troy Franklin would help that that motive.
Yeah, yeah, Rice will be the one, but this gives them a deep threat that is actually reliable, which they haven't had since Tyreek left. They try to fill the void with speedsters that can't catch or speedsters that can't get open. That's not Troy Franklin. He's going to be, I mean, is Troy Franklin a top six rookie draft pick with this? Because I kind of argue he'd be there.
I think I would want him before a Dunze. I mean,
With running backs this year, I think it would boost him up the board. But, man, the Dunze of the Giants, I think he would go above him for drafts. But, I mean, he's not going over Raiders and them. Bowers, arguably, but non-tight end premium. Dude, sorry, I know we're doing a bit much here, but it's just what I like to talk about.
No, but, like, I mean, Neighbors going to Chicago, he's the wide receiver two and probably the target three. True. So I think you can say, okay, situationally, I can bump up Troy Franklin now. And
I think
he's close enough to that tier.
There'll be a little recency bias with Kansas City, though, that I think will keep him slightly lower than maybe his ceiling is. But
that's fair. Yeah.
Either way, I mean, maybe Rice helped that this year, but it's super exciting. I mean, he could be dynamic for them. They can't attack downfield right now. And, you know, the NFL has moved to the too high safety, which is why, you know, Newbin went at 17 because he's going to be great for that. But I think this gives them the weapon they desperately have needed. I mean, how many times have we seen MVS or anyone else downfield open, great throw, drop? Franklin's not doing that. He's improved so heavily. Going to this coaching scheme, good Lord.
Yep. It'd be perfect. All right, I'm still on the clock because of the trade-up. And so I had the Seattle Seahawks taking Johnny Newton, the defensive tackle from Illinois. Super low for Johnny Newton, but he's undersized. That's going to happen. It is what it is. But being able to generate pressure from the interior is important. I know they just went out and got Leonard Williams. That doesn't concern me. That you still have to build through the trenches. Good teams know this. The Seahawks have a good track record of drafting lately. So go get a guy who can generate pressure. It helps you with your pass rush without having to reach for one of the other edge rushers.
Yeah, and they've been attacking the trenches hard offensively and defensively. I think this is a perfect fit for him. Again, another player that might not, he might just be rotational to start with Leonard Williams there, but that we know that's a stopgap. This is the future. It's a smart play. All right, Jacksonville on the clock next at 22. Get Cooper DeJean, corner from Iowa. Yes, we're including him in this one. It felt a little bit right. I'm still iffy if he stays or goes, but this is about the range I expect him to go if he does come out. Just, I mean, obviously you saw we haven't had a corner since Denver at 14, just a safety, but we'll see how this goes. But either way, this is a good fit for him. He pretty much becomes corner one right off the bat, in my opinion. At least he's on the field every down as an outside guy. Super athletic. I think he's going to be an absolute stud at this level. I do think there's a chance he goes back just to clean up a little bit. But if he goes here and they actually keep a starting corner that they drafted, I think it'll be worth it for him.
Yep. All right. Keep it rolling. You've got three picks.
Do I? Because you're up.
Oh, really? Oh,
then I have three picks.
Then you have three picks. Oh, you're right. Okay. 23, the Los Angeles Rams, Jordan Morgan, the offensive tackle from Arizona. This is another guy with a lot of versatility, the ability to get out and move in space, something that the Rams offense desperately needs under Sean McVay. I think that when you look at how their tackles have performed this year, it has not been great. Rob Havenstein has not been very good when he's out there. They've plugged and played some guys this year, but they need some stability at the offensive tackle position. This is a guy that he is still developmental as a pass protector, but if you can get him in the run game and kind of do what the McVay offense has been traditionally, I think you're looking at an easy-ish transition for a new quarterback once that time comes, because Matthew Stafford still has it, man, and I think he'll be playing for at least a couple of years while Jordan Morgan can develop.
Yeah, but you still got to do everything you can to keep him upright because he has an extensive injury history as well. So smart play here. They're again another weird team that kind of have a lot of holes, but they've kind of patchworked this offensive line for so many years that they're desperate for this kind of pick.
Yep.
All right. Three straight for me. Buffalo Bills take Troy Fontenot, offensive tackle / offensive lineman from Washington. They haven't had the best offensive line play either. I think Fontenot can play all three positions is what everyone's kind of saying right now. I'd like to look at that a bit more personally, but I do think he could be a really good starting caliber offensive guard or tackle at the next level. I think that he fits perfectly with Buffalo and can really help them expand. He already has played with a quarterback that likes to hold on the ball and make some hero plays. Makes sense going to Buffalo here. They also got kind of sniped with Troy Franklin. Last one, I believe I had them taking a wide receiver as well. Yeah.
Which could still happen.
It could still happen, but I'm just cooling on the wide receivers a bit. I think after Franklin, I think there's a chance the other guys go in the back end of the first, but I also think we might see a massive run between 33 and 45 of wide receivers, depending on who comes out and who doesn't. That's the other aspect of wide receivers. But getting an offensive lineman here, which, again, a team that loves to build through the trenches, I think it's a smart pick for them. Yep. Colts next after the trade back with the Chiefs, getting extra capital and getting Terrion Arnold, the corner from Alabama. Yeah, they gave away Gilmore. They had a lot of young corners, including Juju Brent, step up this year, mainly due to injury. They've had to step up, and I think that kind of game tape and just reps have been great for them, but they've gotten burned a good bit as well. So getting a new guy to come in who arguably is competing with Kool-Aid and Wiggins as quarterback one, at different snaps at least, I think he can definitely help translate this defense to what it needs to be and help the secondary a ton. He's easily starter day one for me for them. And finally, in the three picks here, Dallas taking Leonard Taylor III, the D tackle for Miami. Yeah, I know they went defensive line last year. Unfortunately for them, the board was kind of D-line for what they needed. I didn't want to kind of reach. I didn't want to go corner for them because they've had corner step up with Trayvon Diggs out. I think they love that idea, and I think they bring that tandem back and hope it all works out. So getting another guy on the defensive tackle, and arguably, in my opinion, as of right now, the only D-tackle alongside Newton that really matters in this class, at least at this kind of caliber. So getting the last one there and really just trying to solidify this defensive line while you have Micah Parsons in that rookie deal, smart idea until you eventually pay him and have to move off of Lawrence.
Yep. Yeah. Solid. I think a lot of Cowboys fans want some wide receivers. But I don't, I think they can get by with going in a different direction. I'll say that.
Yeah. And they can still take a wide receiver in the draft. Like, let's not rule that out. I mean, they definitely are probably taking running back. I think they're definitely taking wide receiver still, but this gives you kind of the position of need. There's no linebacker I really value as a first round pick this year, at least as of yet. Things change. So
yeah,
getting one of the best defensive players left on the board at a position where you still need that secondary guy for the future, in my opinion, I think it's a smart move.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we're going to zip through these last few picks. I'm finally back on the clock. Houston Texans take Tyler Guyton, the offensive tackle from Oklahoma. If you look at George Fant is playing a lot of snaps. That's probably not the most ideal situation for a rookie quarterback now. He's been okay. That said, Laremy Tunsil is getting up there in age as well. I think there's a chance that you're drafting Tyler Guyton to be your future left tackle of the future. And then you can play him at right tackle immediately. You keep CJ Stroud upright where he does his best work. I'm all about it. I think Tyler Guyton, a crazy athlete, and I think he's going to boost up boards once we get – I think he's going to the Senior Bowl, so I think that's going to help him.
I thought I saw that. One crazy athlete shooting up boards to another, Quinyon Mitchell, corner from Toledo. Christian had him in the first round last time. I can't let him leave this draft without being in the first round, as of right now at least. Detroit's secondary has been – I'll give them up and down, but that's kind of generous. Yeah. They've been bad. I think they were okay to start the year, and they've been kind of really bad since. Getting a new guy, athletic guy, to try and shape that defense a bit more, smart, in my opinion.
For sure. Next up, Miami Dolphins take Graham Barton. The offensive guard is how I have him listed. I know he played tackle at Duke, but I think he's going to kick inside. This is a Dolphins team where Graham Barton moves really well. There's some rumors that he can play center. I think just continuing to bolster this offensive line, making sure Tua is upright and making sure this run game can be effective is a smart move. With the strength of this class being an offensive line, I think this is a good pick.
Yep.
Because I made it.
Fair. Eagles at 30 take Carmari Lassiter, corner from Georgia. With Slay being out, we've seen the secondary get exposed. They need fresh blood in there. Bradbury's been cooked.
Yep, for sure.
That's about it. They're a Super Bowl caliber team. They don't need a ton, guys.
This is facts. Same thing here. So I went with a bit of a luxury pick here at 31. Xavier Leggett, a wide receiver out of South Carolina, plays with – he's going to get A.J. Brown comps is what he's going to get. He's a very, very big dude with incredible yak skills, but that also sounds like a player that they use in a very dynamic role, Debo Samuel. You plug Leggett in as your wide receiver 3, have him develop behind Debo, and hope that he can kind of take over that role in the future.
Yeah, they have no one – truly a wide receiver 3, so it makes sense. And then the Ravens here at 32 get Chris Braswell, the edge from Bama. I mean, Clowney's been a pivotal part of this defense this year, getting a guy to replace him because we know Clowney doesn't stay anywhere for more than a year and for less than X amount of money each year until the last day he can sign when he goes for less. So... Well, I don't think it's out of the question that he comes back. I think Braswell is a smart play for them. They only draft blue chip players, it seems, and they're getting another guy that's been outstanding this year and can continue to develop at this team with rotational snaps. I think he's going to absolutely excel here alongside speed rushers on the other side as well. Should be a freak of nature. And a team that likes to move and blitz from different aspects, just like he did at Bama, I think it's a great fit.
Those two Bama edge rushers are why I think they have a really nice shot at the national title. But yeah.
Probably, and also, JJ
also all. Also, the two corners that we did, like the two starting premium position players on that team are going to go in the first round. That's crazy.
Feels like all we've talked about for a few years are quarterbacks, wide receivers, and some running backs. We're getting back to all we're talking about is edge rushers and corners here. Back to the bread and butter and offensive line of Alabama. And, you know, they're always going to have five first round picks, and this year's no different.
For sure. All right. I'm not going to do a rundown because I'm going to put time codes in this video so you can just go back and click through. However,
how fancy.
Fun first round. Obviously, this is with before week 17 order. So if you're watching this when it comes out, this is the current order. If you're watching this a few days after and you come across this before or after week 17, the order is going to be a little bit different. That's what happens when you mock draft in the middle of the season. Towards the end of the season, but we'll be doing a ton more of this. I forgot to mention somewhere earlier, join our Patreon, patreon.com/DavidRoyale. Kevin's doing this really cool thing now. So if you're a dynasty fantasy football player, then he's going to do like consultations with you. That's going to be part of our Patreon. We've got Debbie rankings. We've got a ton of stuff over there. Head over there, patreon.com/DavidRoyale. Randy, anything to add before we bounce?
Fun, exciting football coming up. There's a great chance that there's going to be multiple games in week 18. There are four divisions, four playoff spots. Favorite time of year. We're going to get playoff football for 2 weeks here before the playoffs.
Yeah. Catch our NFL show here in the next couple of days as well. So thank you guys. We'll catch you guys next time.